Welcome to you again this morning. If you're new, welcome. If you're nearly new, welcome. If you are someone who used to come here and have come back, you're welcome. Welcome. My name's Tim, as you've heard, and we're going to be just continuing our series this morning based on the question that Jesus asked his disciples when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And I've just asked Gary, actually, to come up and read the passage for us. So if you wouldn't mind just getting your Bible from the table and turning up page 1016. Gary's just going to come and read that. So it's John 10 and verses 10 to 18. Thanks, Gary.
Starting at verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father."
Thanks, Gary. Let's just pray again before we start. Father God, thank you for the truth that sets us free. Thank you for the truth that we have reminded ourselves of already. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the shepherd who gives life, and that you give your life so that we may have life. I pray that you would be with us now and bless us and bless this time. Amen. Try and get my slide to work. How does this work, Danny? There we go. Excellent. Who or what are you following? These days we make quite a big deal, don't we, of following or being followed on Facebook or Instagram, on Twitter, or on YouTube, or even on Threads. Which channel do you subscribe to? Which podcasts do you listen to? Whose opinion matters to you? Are you following something or someone who is worthy of your trust and your attention? And whatever or whoever you follow, will it stand up to the test? Is it reliable? Are you sure it will take you down a safe path? Will it hold when life gets tough? There is a mountain in Scotland called Antillac. On top of this steep-sided mountain is a precipice, which is comfortingly known as the Bad Step. So we would often holiday in Scotland as a family when I was growing up, and one day two of my big brothers decided they would climb this hill. They knew about the Bad Step, and they'd heard that some time before a climber had very sadly and tragically fallen from that precipice and had died. But that didn't put them off. And they set off, and as they got towards the more challenging pinnacles and slopes of that mountain, the clouds covered the top, and they were shrouded in an impenetrable mist. So they took their time, they got out the map, they used their compass, and they plotted their direction carefully. They set off cautiously in what they thought was the right direction. It was only after they'd been walking for some time that, thankfully, the mist lifted, and they realized that they'd been walking directly towards the bad step and were only a few hundred feet away. Jesus knows that we need a leader, a guide, a person who we can rely on, who is invested in our welfare, who will lead us towards life. We need a good shepherd. So the Bible gives us a number of different pictures of God. He is a king, he is a husband, he's a friend, he's a rock, and he's a shepherd. One of my most favorite bits of the Bible is Psalm 23, which we've sung twice already this morning, and I'm sure are now very familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so there is this picture of God being like our shepherd and us being like sheep. And maybe that bit is not quite so flattering, because it implies that we are weak and need leading. And you may be aware of this, sheep have a reputation for being rather silly. If one runs, they all run. They get lost. They're always looking for the grass, which is greener on the other side of the fence. And of course, we're not like that at all. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and he compares himself with the hired hand. These hired hands, these shepherds or leaders are not invested in the sheep. They don't actually care. And as he talks about the good shepherd, the people listening, I think, would have had other passages of the Bible, of scripture in their minds. Specifically, they would have been familiar with Ezekiel 34, where the prophet, a few hundred years before Jesus came, describes the leaders of the people at that time and lists their failures. He then speaks about God coming to be the good shepherd for his people. Let me just give you a taste of that prophecy. Just read a few verses from that chapter. Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed those who are ill, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. My sheep were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched for them or looked for them." So he says, in effect, you leaders of Israel, you have failed in your duty. And he says, as a result, "I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them. I will gather them. I will pasture them. I will search for the lost and bring back the stray. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will place over them one shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them." And so then 500 years later, Jesus comes and he says, "I am the good shepherd, this good shepherd." Essentially, he says, You Jewish leaders, you are blind guides. You have failed in your duty to care for the sheep and cared only about your own reputations. You're just like the hired hand. You're not invested in the task of caring for the sheep. When danger comes, then you run to save your life. But I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd doesn't run for his life when danger comes. The good shepherd runs towards the danger and gives his life for the sheep. So invested is he in these sheep. And so in a few short sentences, Jesus welcomes those who are honestly looking for truth, looking for a leader they can depend on. But he also pronounces a judgment on those who know how to talk the talk, but are actually just driven by self-interest, and in their hearts are rejecting the Lord's King, the Lord's Shepherd. So let's just notice four things from these verses. Firstly, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives life to the full, verse 10. John, in his gospel, is so clear. What Jesus gives his followers is so much greater than anything that anyone else can give. He gives light in the darkness. He gives the best things, better than we expected they could be. He is the truth that sets us free. He is the bread of life that truly satisfies. He is the water of life that goes on giving life for all eternity. He gives sight to the blind. He is our security. He is our provision. With him, we can go in and out of the sheep pen freely and safely and find nourishment, find pasture. He is the resurrection and the life. And as John comes to the end of his gospel, he says, I have written all of this that you may believe, and in believing you may have life in his name. Secondly, Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. In verses 11 and 15 and 17 and 18. How do we gain this fullness of life? Well, we can have fullness of life because Jesus gave his life for us. As Gary read to us, Jesus' death was not a random event. He was not just in the wrong place at the wrong time, at the mercy of events. No, his death was an intentional sacrifice. And he was in complete control. Do you see that in verse 18? He says, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Absolute control. And it was all part of God's bigger plan and purpose. Jesus did not act independently of his Father. See verse 18 again. This command I received from my Father. The Father and the Son are one in heart and purpose. In God there is complete unity and supreme love. Verse 17 says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. So just to be clear on that, this certainly doesn't mean that Jesus had to give his life in sacrifice or the Father wouldn't love him. It can't possibly mean that. Rather, it is that the willing sacrifice of Jesus arises from and draws out the Father's love for his Son as he chooses to give his life. As he dies on the cross, it is as though the Father says again, as he said when Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved Son, My dear son, with him I am well pleased. And if you are one of his sheep this morning, then he laid down his life for you. He loved you then, and he will always love you, whatever your story. Thirdly, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. How well does Jesus know you? He knows you so well. Think of the Trinity, one God, yet three persons, each person, Father, Son, and Spirit, is truly and fully God, yet they are one. It is a mystery of unity. They are united through all eternity. Jesus knows you like that. You are united with him, safe in him. You are his sheep. You are safe in his sheep pen. You are secure, and you can know that this morning. You can be sure of that because you know him too. And you recognize his voice, and you keep on listening, and you keep on following. Fourthly, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, welcomes other sheep to the sheep pen, verse 16. So here we have the Good Shepherd's mission. This good news is not just for the Jews, it is for all. All are welcome, Gentiles too. You see, the Jews believed that they were special. They thought they were the chosen ones. The Gentiles, on the other hand, the non-Jews, well, they were on the outside of this good thing. They were not going to be welcome on the inside of this sheep pen, were they? But Jesus says, I have other sheep. They weren't there at the beginning. They weren't there at the start of things, but they too are welcome. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. All are welcome here. And as we have kind of shared on our tables together already this morning, there is increasingly, I think, in this church, a welcome for all, a welcome for the other sheep that Jesus is bringing to himself. So I think we are aptly named the Good Shepherd Mission. This is the mission. I have other sheep. I must bring them also. So as I try and draw this all together, let me just ask you again, who will lead you? What will you trust in? Who will you trust in? Do you have a good shepherd? Or do you follow something that in the end will leave you empty, unfulfilled, fearful, or in danger? Do you follow someone or something that will not stand up to the test and in the end will leave you forever lost? Just over a week ago, I sat at the bedside of two patients. Just 2 or 3 months ago, both had been diagnosed with cancer. In one case, there was some treatment that could be given, though this would probably give her another year of life at best. However, for the other patient, there was no treatment, and she had only a few months of life left. And she'd just been told that the day before I saw her. As I introduced myself and said why I was there, she began to cry. And I have to say that honestly, these conversations are the hardest and the saddest that I've ever had in my career. What do you say? And so mostly I just listened as I sat with her and her husband, trying to begin to process what this meant for them and their two children. As it turned out, both of these patients had a Christian faith which they could turn to. They had fellow believers who could pray for them. Both patients had someone who would hold them when the storm came. Now that, I realize, is a very sad story, but it is also real and true. And the point is, do you have a rock to stand on when the rest of the building, which is your life, crumbles and falls around you? And do you see how good this shepherd is? Do you want to be his follower? Do you want to be on the inside of this sheep pen? Do you want this full life given from the one who knows you, welcomes you, and gives his life for you, and who will hold you to the end? Will you this morning choose life? And hear this, you are welcome. There is an open invitation. There is room here. So I remember really well in the church where I grew up, we would sometimes have baptism services, as we do here, and each one followed the same pattern. We had a built-in pool under the floor at the front of the church. And as the person baptized came up out of the water, we would sing the same hymn, and my dad, who was the pastor, would say the same prayer. And so this is really ingrained in my memory. He would say, "Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room." And those words are taken from a story that Jesus told of a banquet that many were invited to. And the master's servants were sent out to invite more in to the banquet. And they came back and they said, "Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room." And each time I heard it, it was a powerful message. Before I'd become a Christian, it was a powerful message of welcome. There is room for me. And once I'd accepted Jesus and been baptized myself, I knew it was a powerful message of welcome for those who were yet to follow the Good Shepherd. And so I prayed all the more for them to find the shepherd. And the same is true for you this morning. Jesus still says, "Follow me." Whoever you are, whatever your story this morning, there is still time, there is still room, and you are still welcome.